Welcome to the Health Human Services Conference Committee. I want to make a couple of comments. First, a little bit about what we're going to do here tonight and just some process comments. We have a lot of people in the room. I apologize that we don't have a bigger room. And I understand we have some people in the adjoining conference room 107 that are listening. And we are going to distribute some paper tonight. And what we thought we would do, just because of the congestion and the fact there are people in the other room, that we will have pages distribute copies to rows of people seated so you don't have to, you know, rush to the table and pick up paper. We'll get it out. And we'll also have pages bring copies over to 107, so those of you in 107 who are listening to this, can you don't have to come over here. We'll bring paper over to you, to the things that are going to be distributed, so just so you understand that. I think what we are intending to do is we want to, we've got some language that we need to adopt, and we will do that first. I think we have a few amendments that are related to that. And at that point, we will take a look at our tracking sheet, and our staff will review the tracking sheet. We'll go through that. And I think we have some rider language that are numbers, and at the conclusion of that, that we need to review. And at the conclusion of that, we will adopt the tracking sheet. And we hope to get that accomplished tonight. We hope we can do that expeditiously. There's a lot of paper around here, and there's lots of things kind of getting sorted out, so bear with us here. We'll try to do this efficiently if we can. I think what we'll do is proceed by article and deal with any of the language by article. And if there are amendments that need to be made in those articles, let's try and do those. If we miss any, we can do it at the end of the discussion. But we'll try to take language and amendments by article as we go through it. So,
Senator?
Representative Abel.
I didn't talk to you about this, but can we make an exception to that and do one amendment first so the witnesses can go to the Bob Seger concert?
I'm having to make another concession to the House position. Yes, we could do that. So before we do anything, we'll make an amendment to my process comments, and we'll do an amendment first. So, Representative Abler.
It'll be passed out. Senator, this is actually an example of when the process works well, and I just am happy to call attention to my good colleague down there. It's the A-116 amendment, and I would move that. It's in Article 7, and I thought, boy, Article 7 is going to be a long time coming. For
Thank you. I'm very grateful.
Anyway, the what snagged the may I discuss it?
Absolutely. Reps and Vapor.
Okay. And
first, have you moved the
I'll move the A-116 amendment.
Thank you.
And this is a pre-conferred, pre-bargaining amendment here. We've done one of the, I think, the successes of this conference is going to be somebody pushing forward the service delivery authority idea statewide, especially in outstate. The metro states, counties, we don't have a lot of need for this. But one of the snags that happens out there is the issues related to the bargaining units and treatment of former employees of the last thing, and are they new employees or not. And I'm not sure we want to dissect all this, but we met a couple months ago with AFSCME 65 and 5, and I'm not sure who else we talked to, but the interested parties, and they sat down with each other. I pointed out some pitfalls, and they worked them through, and we've come up with an agreement, which I think is really good to allow these SDAs to go forward, and I would hate to have had it be snagged by that matter, and if you recall, in the past it has been a problem. So, Mr. Chair, I do have a testifier if you want to let her say a short thing, like a minute. And then if the counties want to say something or if they just want to nod or wave, I'm cool with that. They're nodding and nod.
Thank you, Representative Abler. And please introduce yourself for the record.
My name is Sarah Leverins. I'm an attorney and the legislative coordinator for AFSCME Council 65. We represent local government and nonprofit organizations outside of the metropolitan and outside of the Duluth area. Do you want to just say who you are, too?
Patricia Coldwell, Association of Minnesota Counties.
We did work with the Association of Minnesota Counties, and I'll let Patricia speak for them. We also worked with Council 5 on this, although the feeling was because we represent counties outside of the Twin Cities and Duluth, that we were more likely, our members were more likely to be affected by this. We represent 37 of the Social Services Department, the 87 County Social Services Department. We also acquired from the Bureau of Mediation Services a list of the represented social service departments around the state, and that comes to, I believe, 62. There were a couple that were represented by their own internal groups, and so there was a little doubt about that. And so how you deal with the fact that when you merge organizations that are represented, what happens? And there's a great deal of law on that, and you spend a great deal of time and a great deal of money on both sides of the issue litigating that. We are currently doing that in one instance of what would become an SDIA, I'm guessing, and it does not seem to us to be a fruitful way to do things. We have a district court judge that is essentially the human relations director for that four-county organization right now. All human relations decisions have to go by her. She sees payroll every 2 weeks. That does not seem a good model to us. And we don't think it would be good for SDAs. We don't have an official opinion on service delivery authorities, but we've been very clear with everyone we talk to that whatever will provide better services to the clients of the people we represent and will do that in a cost-effective manner is a good thing as far as we're concerned. And we see SDAs as being something that we hope and believe will have that effect out there. I can explain a little bit about the language. It is taken from the court's takeover language. That language is found in the Public Employee Labor Relations Act at 179A.102. Obviously, that was the state taking over all of the county functions. It wasn't really a merger, so there had to be some tweaking of it. But anybody familiar with the court's takeover, when they have looked at this language, have had no trouble recognizing it. It is so close to that. What it essentially does is that it allows, if you have existing unions, you have four counties that decide to come together as an SDA, and they have existing unions, it explains how that will be handled. First of all, the unions want to have to continue to represent them. If there's only one union and there's a majority of the employees who are represented, and only one of them wants to take those folks and petitions the state for those folks, then they will end up representing them. If there are two unions, and that's the, other than a one union scenario, that's the other most likely scenario. There aren't that many different unions representing folks out there doing this work, then both of them could continue to represent them. And if there is a majority of the employees represented, it's a fairly simple process of petitioning the Bureau of Mediation Services to continue to represent them. And the commissioner of the Bureau of Mediation Services decides what they call an appropriate unit and their legal standards to decide that. And then the commissioner then certifies if there's a majority. If there isn't a majority, there's a process to follow in the language. Again, it's the same process that was used in the court's takeover. And at one point in one of those situations, it is indeed the current election process that you have in statute for getting a new union. We do have some language in here that talks about what happens with respect to a county leaving an SDA. There's language that says that leave accruals, I actually had written it sick leave, vacation, that way. And one of the counties, Human Services, said, wait a minute, we have PTOs, you need to write it differently. And so we did, and it refers to the kinds of leave it as being inclusive of leave accruals and is exemplary. We also talk about that you continue to be covered by the Family and Medical Leave Act if you were eligible to be covered at your prior county employer. That's because in the place that we are involved in litigation, we had three women who were pregnant who were told that because the change would come towards the end of their pregnancies, they were not going to be eligible for leave, nor would they have any other sick leave. And we had one person who was dying who was also told that after the merger, they would not be eligible for any leave at the end of their life. So that language is in there. That's not there from the courts. In the court's takeover language, the state did not threaten those kinds of things to people.
Mr.
Nor
Chair.
Would
Yeah, thanks. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you worked something out. We have a huge crowd of people.
And I can be done any moment.
So there were some contention areas, and maybe Ms. Caldwell could just talk to how those got, just that they're mostly worked out. I have high confidence in both parties at the table.
Mr. Chair and members, again, Patricia Caldwell, Association of Minnesota Counties. We've discussed this issue several times. As you might recall, the similar language was proposed last year, and primarily because of some unresolved union issues, it did not move forward in the House and became law. So we appreciate the chairs bringing it forward this year. We have had several meetings with both parts of AFSCME, and I would say at this point, we do not oppose the language that's in this bill. The concerns that we had before were related to being able to contract out with non-union employees for certain functions, which we think may be a possibility, and then also some issues related to seniority, and those have been largely resolved. We do think that counties will have some counties may take pause just from the number of union issues that need to be resolved in merging any governmental jurisdictions, but that would occur under other joint powers agreements as well. So we don't oppose this language.
And Mr. Chair.
Representative Abel.
And so just that people know, this only applies to counties joining an SDA. If they would like to do a joint power for some park project, that's an entirely different matter, and that's unregulated or it's regulated by some other
area.
So I'm really pleased it's come this far, Mr. Chair.
Right. Are there any questions from members of the committee? I don't see any questions.
Frankly, Chair, I'm having a hard time absorbing all of this. This is a lot to take in at this point in the process. So more comment than a question.
And Mr. Chair, we'd be glad to revisit these issues with you at a future time if there's that opportunity.
Absolutely.
But it's my understanding that this represents an agreement from both parties involved in this issue, and that this satisfies the interests in, that both parties have had, and it's agreed upon mutually.
I have to head nodding, Mr. Yes. Chair, I have to say this hasn't been fully vetted through the AMC membership, but our executive director has been involved in these discussions and has signed off on this agreement.
All right.
And it did go out to a number of the member counties.
We did check with a few counties and got some feedback.
Any other questions or comments from members? Representative Abler renews his motion to adopt the A-116 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The ayes have it, and the language is adopted.
Thank
Bob
you.
Seeger, here I come. Thanks.
Oh, yeah. Don't rub
Thank
it
you.
In.
I'll be back in my corner.
Oh, she had to leave the room.
Back in her corner.
Just go back to one. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Members, we're going to proceed to, again, deal with language changes and amendments that need to be adopted. And so I'd like to just turn to council and talk about Article 1. And if you could point out to us what things that we need to address and call our attention to the appropriate sections in the side-by-side.
Mr. Chair and members, there was a page distributed, Children's Family Services, Article 1, House, Article 3, Senate, with a list of sections
Are you talking about this list that we have here?
Yes. Is that what you...
Well, what we're looking for are things that we need to adopt for purposes of making sure that we've got the appropriate language in before we take up the tracking. Things that are related to the tracking we don't need to adopt independently, and then we want to also take any amendments. So if there are things on this list that we need to adopt, then point them out. If not, we'll ask for amendments.
Yes, Mr. Chair. The sections that are reflected on this list need to be adopted, and there are two amendments to this article also. And I can go through them quickly if you'd like.
These are all policy matters?
No, we've taken care of the policy provisions in the articles. These sections will match the tracking.
If we adopt the tracking sheet, do these get adopted with the tracking? So, do we need to act on these independently?
Mr. Chair, generally the actual sections are adopted in addition to adopting the tracking.
Right.
I can move the whole page.
Oh, I don't.
So, Mr. Chair, is there policy work? We have some policy work to do first. I think that's what we're trying to get to and save the
yes.
money for the end. So,
right. We're trying to.
We can adopt these.
So we're looking for amendments.
Right. This is money.
So
this is money.
So we need policy amendments. Policy amendments.
Mr. Chair, there are two amendments to this article. If you'd like to adopt those.
Two amendments related to Article 1?
Yes.
Why don't we deal with those first? So if you can...
We need what? We need the amendment number, Mr. Chair.
Do you have the amendment numbers?
The first amendment is the A-123, and the second amendment is the A-127.
We can change the language.
Let's do the amendment.
This will change the language, so it's that's what we'll do that.
All right, we'll take up amendment A-123.
Mr. Chair, I move A-123.
Representative Weber moves A-123. And if Senate Counsel could just briefly tell us.
Mr. Chair and members, the A-123 amendment modifies Article 1. The first 11 lines relate to child care rates. Lines 1.13 through 1.19 insert the correct effective dates for the adult assistance program. Lines 1.20 to 1.23 modify the MFIP SSI modification that's a Senate-only provision. And then lines 1.26 to page 2, line 2.2.
123.
Insert the correct effective dates for the adult assistance program, which is October 1st. And then
is this your plan?
Page 2, lines 5 through 14 are the repealers and the correct effective dates for those repealers.
Thank you. Members have a copy of the amendment. Any questions on the A-123 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor of the A-123 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
A-123 is adopted. The next one, I think, is the A-127 amendment. And if Senate Counsel could
Mr. Chair, move the A127.
Thank you. Representative Abler moves A127. And Ms. White.
Yes, Mr. Chair and members, the A127 also modifies Article 1, and page 1 through page 3.8 incorporates the existing general assistance eligibility into the group residential housing statute effective October 1st of 2012. And then 3.23 to the end amends the adult assistance program by inserting some policy related to personal needs allowance, priority for the assistance, and also income disregard language, and also a policy in general assistance that requires individuals to apply for federal programs if they are eligible.
Okay, thank you. And Representative Abler, do you have any? Sorry.
No, I'm good, thank you.
Okay. Any questions or comments from members of the committee? All those in favor of the A127 signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? A127 is adopted.
We didn't have ADD.
And then, Ms. White, our on the crib sheet you've provided to the committee on the Article 1, what are the things that we need to adopt here? If you could just review them, and we'll adopt them as a group or whatever is appropriate. So just indicate what we need to, how we need to do the sequencing here.
Mr. Chair and members, and just to clarify, these are all fiscal items on the tracking sheet.
So we'll come back to those.
Okay. All righty.
Wait, one second, Ms. White.
So we'll just pass on this. There's no policy.
I'm sorry. We want to do the policy things first, so we'll come back and do the we're going to do the policy by section first. We'll come back and so in Article 2, are there amendments or things that we need to adopt in language?
Mr. Chair, there is on Article 2, page R35, it's the Senate only section 25, the human cloning prohibited section. I think the committee wanted to address that.
Mr. Chair, move section 25. Is that the right section?
Yes.
What page is that?
This is on page R35 of Article 2, members in the side-by-side, and this is language that the committee has not adopted previously. And Mr. Vabler moves the adoption of Senate section 120, or section 25, in Article 2, are there any questions from members of the committee? Representative Public.
Mr. Chair, if you could have just have staff.
Tom, your microphone.
If you could just have staff give us a brief statement on what this does.
Well, Representative Weber, we can do that, and I can explain briefly. This is a provision that was in the House, the Senate bill is a with respect to the human cloning provisions that were in the Senate bill. And it was a bill that was adopted in the Senate and included in the omnibus provision. Do you want the staff to walk through the policy?
Yes, if you could do that, or just give me the page on Article 2.
It's Article 2, page R35.
Mr. Chair and Representative Huntley, Senate, it's a Senate-only section, and it prohibits any person or entity, whether it's public or private, from performing or attempting to perform human cloning, participating in an attempt to perform human cloning, shipping, importing, or receiving, or for any purpose, an embryo, produced by human cloning or any product derived from such embryo, or shipping or receiving in whole or in part any of these various cells, I guess, and tissues for the purpose of human cloning, and knowing or reckless violation of the prohibition is punishable as a misdemeanor. This section also defines human cloning and somatic cell, and provides that nothing in law restricts areas of scientific research, including stem cell research, not specifically prohibited by this position, and it includes a severability clause.
All right. Representative Huntley, is that...
Well, I understand it now, Mr. Chair, and I would say that certain parts of our business community are strongly opposed to this.
Any other comments or questions from members of the committee?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Abel.
I don't want to engage in a whole debate about this, but if we... not everybody agrees that that's the correct interpretation, and some say this should have no effect on business. So just so I don't want to leave that just uncountered, and that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Abler. Any other comments? Representative Abler, again, renews his motion to adopt Senate Section 25. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Section 25 is adopted.
Mr. Chair, there is an amendment for this section. It's related to Merck, and it will affect the money. Do you want to just...
We should do the policy. Let's do that now.
Yes.
A lot of policy.
Take it now.
I mean, let's take that. There's policy there. That.
What number is it, please?
That is the A89-3 amendment. Would you like me just to describe it? Or wait till it's passed out.
Let's get to the amendment. I have not got a copy of it yet. Representative Huntley.
I would move the, Mr. Chair, the A89-3 amendment.
Representative Huntley, did you want to comment or do you want to have staff?
I would like staff to change so many times in the last 24 hours.
Very good. And if council could review that.
But I would just introduce it. This relates to the Medical Education Research Committee money. And for those who don't know, the vast majority of this money goes to residents or to institutions that are training residents. It all, our amount goes to institutions training advanced practice nurses, and physician's assistants, and to medical students. But the biggest chunk goes to institutions that are training residents, and it's to try to make up for the fact they lose money when they train residents because it takes their regular physicians lots of time to deal with these students.
And Representative Huntley, just to be clear, and members of the committee may recall, early on we had some presentation and discussion about the Merck distribution process. Is this work in response to some of those concerns being raised?
It was in response to the concern, and the Department of Health, when we, I can't remember if it was with this committee or with the House committee, had a slide that showed that some institutions were getting a ton of money for doing very little work, and that at the other side of that, there's a number of institutions that are getting checks for a few dollars, and so what this bill does, or this amendment does, is take care of those high-end ones so they're not as high, and it eliminates some of the very low ones. But most of the money is unaffected. The percentage they have, depending on what the total amount of money we put in the bill, would be essentially distributed to most institutions the same way it is distributed now. We have three people get direct grants, or three institutions, rather, and we have set up a special fund for federally qualified health centers and community medical health centers that train these same people and lose money because they're training them. And I think that's about it. And there's a 10% plus for family practice or primary care training. So they get a little bit more if they're doing primary care. And the reason for that is most residency programs make money on their specialists, and they lose money big time on training primary care docs.
And Ms. Cleveland, is there anything that you'd like to add to the for the benefit of the committee members? Okay.
Maybe I'll just point out, Mr. Chair, where those changes are.
All right.
So on page 4, that's the setting a floor. This is the current distribution, setting a floor of a $1,000 grant or a minimum grant. And then you'll also see there in paragraph B the changes to the direct payments. And then on page 7 is the proposed new distribution formula. The first part is as Representative Huntley described, the existing one. And then on page 8, clause 2 is the creates that 10% pool for primary care. And then 3 sets the ceiling for the 70 or the 95th percentile grant, and again a floor under this proposed change. And then clause 4 is the pool of the remainder is for the community health grants. And then on the final page, there is a rider under the House proposal. White Earth Clinic was being funded under Merck, and now it is moved to a general fund appropriation under the Health Department.
And, members, you might recall we did have some testimony on how the distribution of Merck funds early on in the committee, and I was under the understanding that Representative Huntley and others were working to try to address some of those issues, and so we appreciate your work on that. And thank you for doing that. Representative Gotwell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I could ask Representative Huntley, I recall seeing in committee when this came through our policy committee a list of the various entities that were receiving these Merck funds and how it was being distributed. And some of it did not make sense, so I appreciate your work on this. I'm just curious, how does it impact hospitals like St. Luke's or St. Cloud? Or
Mr. Chair and Representative Gottwald, I actually checked, and the St. Cloud Hospital gets roughly the same percentage they would get under the current situation. The Duluth hospitals get roughly the same. Almost all the Twin Cities hospitals get the same. The Rochester hospitals get roughly the same percentage that they would have gotten under the old system.
And Mr. Chair.
Representative Abel.
The House had a position on this, which was announced as a work in progress, and it became even a more work in progress as it got improved on the floor in ways that made it different. And so I asked, thanks to Representative Huntley for taking this on and coming up with a plan that I think is equitable, and there'll be some comments along the way, and certainly the governor can weigh in over the weekend and tell us what he thinks about it. I just sort of want to point out one feature. In the House version, we had a number of grants in there, and this was kind of, and when you get the spreadsheet, you'll see the money is not as flush as was in the House position. And so one of these grants was put in as a rider for the White Earth Clinic to get that set up and running down in Minneapolis somewhere. And I'm not sure if we have the language just right now, but for today it's a rider. And it's the intention of this author, and hopefully the will of the committee, that this would be an ongoing $200,000 to the White Earth Clinic so it can serve up to 20,000 residents of Hennepin County and metro areas. So that's in the bill. It's $500,000 in year one and $200,000 in ongoing. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Abler. And Representative Huntley renews his motion to adopt the A89.3. Other questions?
Okay.
No.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I appreciate this. And I think it's just a comment. You know, I'll vote for the amendment. I know the work that's gone in on it. But I just feel that when we have the formula is weighted heavily in regards to public programs, volume factors, just heavily in here. So while I appreciate that everybody's worked real hard on this, and I appreciate that Representative Huntley, I think that those factors are probably, in my mind, a little bit too heavy, and I just felt like maybe at some point in the future we could think about that, but a project maybe for another day.
Right. Thank you, Representative Kipmeyer. Any other comments or questions by members of the committee? Again, Representative Huntley renews his motion to adopt the A89-3 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The amendment is adopted. And are there other language amendments that we need for Article 2?
Family planning one. That's Article 2.
Is that Article 2?
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Section 30.
I guess we have one other amendment. And this is the A114 amendment.
Mr. Chair, move the A114.
Representative Abler moves the A114 amendment. Does Council want to explain what the A114 amendment does?
Mr. Chair and members, this would prohibit the Commissioner from making family planning grants to any eligible organization that performs abortions or provides referrals for abortions.
Thank you. Any questions from members of the committee?
Representative Huntley. Well, as you probably wouldn't be surprised, I will certainly vote strongly against this. These organizations do a good job with their family planning money, and for every dollar they get from their combination state and federal funding for this, it saves us about $4 in terms of medical costs later on.
Any other questions, comments from members of the committee? Representative Abler renews a motion to adopt the A114 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
A114 is adopted. And I don't believe we have any other amendments to Article 2, so let's look at, was it Article 3?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, in Article 3, page R11, just to be clear, this is not an amendment. This is language related to creating a working group on non-emergency medical transportation.
Mr. Lobeko, we have two sections that refer to that.
Correct, Mr. Chair. The House and Senate languages, that's House Section 12, Senate Section 25, are virtually identical. You'll see on page R12, on the House side, the House has a Clause 8, and this is relating to the working group looking at the use of public transit for persons with disabilities. The other difference is on the following page, page 13, R13, or I'm sorry. Oh, it's at the bottom of page R12. This is begins on line, Senate line 33.25. This is all the representatives of the working group. And the Senate has an additional organization, the Medical Transportation Management, and also has language there on 33.30, other transportation providers. And so, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, if you wanted to follow both, what you could do is adopt the Senate language as well as the House language, Clause 8.
So, Mr. Baker, we could adopt both sections is what you're saying, and it would...
Well, there's also one, I guess there's one change, and that is the Senate calls it medical non-emergency, the House calls it non-emergency medical.
So we'd have to agree on the title or the... I think what we could do, Mr. Lobeko, is we could adopt the Senate language and then we could adopt the one section of the House language that is not in Senate language. Would that be pertinent?
That is correct, yes. Clause 8
medical, is it medical?
Of the House language.
Okay, so that would then make it medical non-emergency. Is that correct?
Correct.
Right. And, yes, we need a motion. Are you offering a motion? Representative Gottwald moves House Section 25. I'm sorry, Senate Section 25. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Senate Section 25 is adopted, and I think we would then need a motion to adopt House language on 79.28 to 79.30.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
Well, there's some thought that non-emergency medical is actually more descriptive than medical non-emergency. And I don't really care, but it's not the House Senate thing. But what does the department call it? The department calls it non-emergency medical.
Representative Abler is saying that the department calls it non-emergency medical. Is this an issue in the bill, or is this just a drafting preference?
Mr. Chairman, as the committee would, as I understand, it would be just a drafting preference. If you did want to use the House term, then if I may recommend adopting the House side, except for Clause 2 on page R12 under paragraph D, so in which case it would be Senate language on lines 33.25 through 33.31.
Mr. Lobeko, why don't we try to make this simple, and Representative Gottwald has moved that we adopt 79.28 to 79.30. Why don't we do that, and then we could... make an oral amendment to change the title to the House language, and that might do it. So, and Representative Gottwald incorporates that into his motion. So we are moving to adopt House language 79.28 to 79.30 on page R12, and addition an oral amendment to replace the title with the House language found on 79.384. Everybody understand what we're doing here? Okay. All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Sections are adopted as noted. Other amendments that we need for Article 3?
Mr. Chair, there's one policy amendment for this article. It's the A107.
Oh, this is that one from Jerry Kerber. Mm-hmm. This is that Jerry Kerber. This one we talked about. Mr. Chair, I'll move the A107 amendment. And
Representative moves the A107.
Is there, does staff want to describe this, or is there someone from the department? Or a volunteer from the audience. There you go. Ms. Regan. Mr. Chair.
Thank you, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Mary Regan. I'm with the Minnesota Council of Child Caring Agencies. I'm hoping this amendment is just simply allowing folks who are certified by the Department of Human Services as children's therapeutic services and supports to have access to the NET study background system. Right now, they're excluded only because the current language includes licensed providers. And so it's sort of an unintended consequence of the current language to exclude these folks. They're not licensed. They're certified. So it's simply a correction allowing them to have access. It's a more streamlined, easier process. Otherwise, they have to go through a process of getting a notarized application and mailing it to the BCA. They would have access through the NET study to the online background study system. My understanding is it's budget neutral because the fee pays for the cost of the department doing the background study. They are currently paying a fee for a background study to the BCA. They would just be doing this to the Department of Human Services.
Representative Cowell, did you?
So, Mr. Chair, to the testifier, so this is already, they are currently spending this $20. They're just sending it somewhere else. Now they send it here.
They are currently paying for background studies to the BCA. I'm not exactly sure if the fee is exactly the same as it will be for the Department of Human Services. There may be somebody else who could testify to that, but they're requesting this because it's an easier access, especially for out-state providers who don't always have access to a notary public.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Regan.
Is Mr. Kerber here by chance?
I just had someone go a little more.
We are going to...
We could hold on this for a minute.
Get some testimony from Mr. Kerber.
We can come back to it, Mr. Chair.
Why don't we lay this over for a few minutes here, and we'll come back to it after the testifier.
Good time.
You're good. That's why we have
peers.
Oh, Mr. Oh, you got your pink pass?
apparently, if you have a pass, you can appear magically. So, and Mr. Kerber, are you familiar?
Mr. McCorder.
I'm sorry, Mr. McCorder.
So this is a sound a little different.
Mr. Chair, my name is Ralph McCorder. I'm with the Department of Human Services, and we're tracking Jerry Kerber down. We weren't quite expecting this at this time, so we expect him to, as we can retrieve him, we will.
All right, so we'll hold this over for a few minutes.
Under that pass.
And see what we learn. Are there other amendments that are needed in Section 3, Article 3, sorry?
Not that I'm aware, sir.
Not that we were. Any members have amendments for Article 3? I didn't ask
would
if
you like
had amendments for the other articles, but I'm not aware of any, but okay. Let's proceed to Article, 4? Are there any amendments that we need to address in Article 4? Any language
issues? No, Mr. Chair. Actually, that article is in the revisor's office, so.
Ah.
Okay.
Got one in the bank. So, Article 5.
Thank you. Next, we have, looks like, Article 5. And do we have amendments to Article 5?
Mr. Chair, there are some amendments, but there are also three sections with some language differences that the committee could go over. These relate to the choice waiver. So the House sections 82, 83, and 84, and the Senate sections 35, 36, 37, beginning on page R80 of Article 5.
We're just taking that.
And I'll point out the differences. First of all, the House put on an amendment A67-1, which renames the global waiver the choice waiver, so that difference appears throughout the amended language. Then the House in Section 82 requires the commissioner to request the waiver by September 1st of 2011. The House has a general reference to federal law, seeking a waiver from federal law. The Senate refers to a waiver from the maintenance of effort requirements related to the Affordable Care Act. And then finally, in House 84, Senate 37, there's a technical difference on which staff would recommend the Senate on the technical difference.
And that's section, Senate Section 37, House Section 84?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
So I think what we want to do is, and maybe Representative Aber could move the House Section 82 with the exception of, why don't we do Section 82 and then we would do or 82 and 83, and then take Senate 80, Section 37.
Or Mr. Chair, perhaps you could just take the House and all three, and staff could sort of transpose the technical difference into the House language. It may be easier.
Mr. I'll move that. I'll move the transpose thing.
All right. All right. So, Representative Abler moves the adoption of House Section 82, 83, 84, and 85. Is that correct?
Let's see. Or no, 82,
not 85.
83, and 84. Mr. 82, Chair.
83, and 84, and then instructs the staff to make the technical corrections to conform with Senate Section 37.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
The members understand what we're doing here? Any questions? Yeah. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Opposed? Sections 82, 83, 84 from the House are adopted with the appropriate technical changes. And are there other?
Yes, Mr. Chair, there are a number of amendments. There is an A113 amendment. This is an amendment to House Section 14 dealing with contingent contracts.
Do you direct us the page number and the tracking, or in the side-by-side?
There you go.
It's page R12, is that correct?
Yep. Mr. Chair, that's correct, page R12. And, Mr. Chair, this is just language suggested by the Department of Human Services that would govern where the money attributed from new recoveries goes. It goes into a fund other than the state general fund.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the A113.
Representative Abler moves the A113. We're reading the text here.
Describes more how they're going to do this other.
Well, and Representative Gottwald, did you have a question?
Mr. Chair, I was just wondering under the new item B, it looks like what we're doing is sequestering funds, whereas in the past, perhaps, it was a question whether it would go to the general fund or not. But I wonder if somebody could just give me the two-second explanation there.
I guess. Thank you, Representative Gottwald. I was trying to sort that through myself. And Representative
Mr. Chair, I know that part of the problem in the past is there's a current situation, and this may address the current situation, where they hired a vendor for some recoveries. The recoveries go to the bottom line, and the department's unable to pay for the vendor. they don't get to get the... They actually lose the vendor price, and so the general fund gets the benefit. This gives the recoveries back to the commissioner, which then become it'd be attributed to somehow in our budget. So if we're going to, I think that's true in our current, we do some recouping under in the fee-for-service. There's a company called HMS that we pay 6% to. They get all the fee-for-service data, and they scrub that against the eligibility data from all the PMAP plans. And they get 6% of what they found that was not properly billed to Blue Cross or whomever. And that's one of the circumstances like this. This would allow the department to recoup its costs. And they get the savings that's been attributed for the that particular program.
Thank you, Representative Mayber. And just, Mr. Chun, did we adopt Section 14 or Section 6 in the Senate language previously?
Mr. Chair, yes, we did.
Okay. All right.
I could be a department.
Members understand what the amendment does?
I'm Dave Greenman.
Any questions? Representative Abel renews his motion to adopt the A113 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion carries. And just going back to the previous amendment, when the person we need to comment is here, if that person would acknowledge or signal us, we'll go back and take up the A107 again. Just let us know when we're ready. But are there other amendments in Article 5 that we...
There are, Mr. Chair.
Please continue.
Okay. The next amendment is a A119 amendment. This is an amendment that would replace House Section 24, which was the language establishing a pediatric care coordination program, and it would replace it with language requesting that the commissioner present recommendations to the legislature on how to reduce hospitalization rates for children with severe emotional disturbance.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the A-119. This is an effort to go after some of the high cost children with challenging situations that we could do better work with, and having the department collaborate with me and others to find a better way. So it was the language, I believe, that they're suggesting.
And the amendment says to delete Section 24. Is that language we had previously adopted?
Mr. Chair, yes, that is language that we had adopted, but then I believe we found that there's a cost to that.
So we adopted the second half of that, thinking it was without cost. I'm not sure that's the right language exactly, but
I think this was language we adopted last night, members, and the page R120, is that just?
And Mr. Chair, this was kind of done on the fly, I know, but I think maybe that I should make an oral amendment on mine. Maybe Mr. Chun can help me. The interest in this particular group is about high-cost medical conditions, and so I think if I could offer an oral amendment, if I may, Mr. Chair.
Well, I'm just trying to understand it. This section that is being referred to on R120 is a different section of the article, and so I'm a little confused
Mr.
here.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Aber.
On page, the language we adopted was actually on R22, which is part of Section 24. If you can, we adopted this back half of the.
Right, and Representative Aber, just referring to the insertion that is on lines 1.4 of the amendment. And
Mr. Chair, it's just being added as uncodified language to the end of Article 5.
So they deleted a section and they're sticking it this way at the back, at the very end of the
section. So is that a new section, Mr. Chung?
Mr. Chair, yes, it would be a new section, and the reviser could number the section appropriately.
I see.
So, Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
If I could make an oral amendment on line 1.8, delete severe emotional disturbances and insert, what's the term here, high cost. I lost it here. High cost medical conditions, I think, was the. Is that right, Mr. Chun? Is that what we're talking about?
Mr. Chair, that would work. That's okay. Language from the language that we're getting rid of.
So, Mr. Chair, I'll move to remove severe emotional disturbances and insert high cost medical conditions. And I'll incorporate that, Mr. Chair, in just a word of testimony. I'm a little frustrated that we can't do this and actually save money, and so I'll urge the department to look at this in the meantime. There was a program at the U called U Special Kids by Dr. Ann Kelly, who took children that cost the system $100,000. And by doing this very thing that they have tons of evidence about and documented records, made them $9,000 kids. Some of these children would go on vacation, find themselves in the hospital, because that's what you should do, where they receive no benefit because they're just so fragile and they didn't know what else to do. And so she taught the parents how to help their kids to be managed and have a phone line. And this used advanced practice. This model here uses advanced practice nurses to do that with. So maybe with some further review, this placeholder can be evaluated later on. So I think it's a good amendment, Mr. Chair, and I urge members to adopt it.
Thank you. Are there questions from members of the committee about the amendment? You understand what we're doing here? All right. Representative Baylor renews his motion as amended. A-119, adopting the A-119 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
A-119 amendment is adopted. John, are there additional amendments?
Yes, Mr. Chair. There is an A-106-2 amendment on report reduction. This is an amendment that Representative Kiffmeyer, I believe, was going to offer last night, but it wasn't ready at the time. And there is an A-117 amendment
already
to that amendment.
We deleted section
So just so we're clear, we adopted the A-106-2 amendment? No, we did not.
Mr. Chair, no, it wasn't ready last night.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the A-106-2.
And this is referring to language on...
Mr. Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry, Representative. I will withdraw my motion, Mr. Chair.
All right. Yeah. Representative Baber withdraws his motion. Representative Kipmeyer.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I would ask advice from staff. I will move the A-106-2 amendment. And then I have an amendment to the amendment. Okay. And as to how to proceed to do the amendment to the amendment.
Representative Kiffmeyer moves the A-106-2. And before we take your amendment to the amendment, why don't we talk a little bit about what the A-106-2 does. And it is deleting Section 15 on R-12. And
okay.
And just maybe why don't you explain a little bit about what we're doing here, Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. There are several sections in the bill that all deal with the same issue, coming at it from a different approach. One was a work group, and the other one was a zero-based reporting. And for the ease of simplicity and focus on this, merging those into a single approach. And so the approach is, first of all, on page R-12, deleting Section 15, just that's language we need to remove.
Before you continue, just want to make clear, we've previously adopted Section 15? Have not?
I don't believe so.
Thank you.
No. Mr. Chair, no, those sections I think we placed on hold because we knew an amendment was coming.
Thank you. Please continue, Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we're deleting the relevant sections and inserting new language. The has to do with the simplifying, reducing, eliminating unnecessary, redundant, and obsolete state-mandated reporting or data submittal requirements for healthcare providers or group purchasers. So it's regulatory simplification and report reduction work group. So in its essence, that's what it's doing. And I've worked with this with the Department of Health. And with the Department of Human Services, I've incorporated their suggestions and recommendations and the vested interests. So the approach deals, number one, with establishing the work group and gives them the assignment. And this is very similar language to what is currently in the side-by-side. It's just weaving them all together with a single approach. And this work group would come back to the legislature next year with a report and recommendations as how to accomplish this, which reports. So we, the legislature, would have final say on their work product. So this is establishing the work group and giving them assignments as well. And also just making it work more smoothly, you know, taking three sections and weaving it into one new one. And, Mr. Chairman, the amendment to the amendment.
Before we get to that.
Just simplify some wording.
Before we get to the amendment to the amendment, I just want to clarify with staff. If we have not adopted Section 15 or Section 113, do we need to delete them if those have not been adopted?
Mr. Chair, I don't think it'll make a difference because it's not being – it's telling you to delete it anyway, and we won't send it up to the reviser. But, if you like, you could get rid of lines 1.3, part of – 1.4. I mean, I think it's probably okay just to leave it in.
I just want to make clear that we're deleting something that we'd already adopted that we didn't intend to delete. So that's okay. So Representative Kiffmeyer, and you have, maybe we should adopt the amendment and then you can, or did you want to take up the amendment to the amendment?
And she wants to clean up her
amendment. Mr. Chairman, just for ease of clarity, I had the staff write down what would otherwise be easy to do as an oral amendment. And so I can walk through. The main thing it's doing, instead of calling it a working group, it's just called a work group, so anywhere where the extra, which is the A-117 amendment. So just simply does that. It can be easily done as an oral as well. And also, it's also making sure that in line 1.7, the regulatory simplification and report reduction work group is also included in line 1.8. In other words, no substance change. Just pure technical. And also on page 2, line 15, instead of an and, we're putting an or. These are in writing for the purposes of staff so that they have it in writing and it is clear.
Thank you. So, again.
So my motion would be also that I would like to do is to incorporate the A-117 into the A-106-2 amendment.
All right. So, members, the Representative Kiffmeyer incorporates the A-117 amendment into her A-106-2 amendment. And Representative Huntley.
Mr. Chair and Representative Kiffmeyer, does this amendment then get rid of the way I understood the original language, there was an automatic termination of all this recording unless we did something. Is that automatic termination gone? No.
Mr. Chairman.
Kiffmeyer.
Yes, Mr. Chairman and Representative Huntley, yes. We will wait for the report to come back, and then we will decide some of those further actions.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, thank Representative Kiffmeyer for that.
Thank you. Representative Abler.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kiffmeyer, I talked to you about another section of the bill, Section 113, which is more specific to health plan reporting, which has been something that I've been working on. And we held on that because we were confused about which was which, and your bill deletes that. Is the entire content of Section 113 included by your work?
Representative Kiffmeyer.
In your work, or is that... Because this is the focus on 113 was meant to be about health plans and consolidating those reports and county-based purchasing. And is that included?
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Abler, yes, it is my understanding that is included, and the Department of Health and Human Services and Department of Health as well, both of them, we discussed this, and that is why the group purchasers has a meeting provided in Section 62J.03. That's my understanding, Mr. Chairman. If it is not, that is my intention.
Well, the health department's nodding behind you, so I'll accept that as credible.
Right.
So note the nods in the records.
All right.
Yes. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Yes.
Are there any other questions from members of the committee on the A-106-2 as amended or as incorporated with the other language? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A-106-2 as amended only or with the A-117, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The amendment is adopted. Mr. Chun, are there other amendments?
Mr. Chair, those are all of the policy amendments for Article 5.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
There was some money in for the sections that we have to move, and so I need to move to delete some sections. And is that in order?
Are you talking about
There was
in Article 5?
It was discovered that four sections are tied to some money, which I think is a lot of money for this great idea. But I'll just accept the Department of Health.
And Representative Abler, are those things?
The commissioner is waving her hands. It wasn't our money. Anyway, so that's sections 45, 46, 47, and 51 related to health care homes and using community mental health. And maybe I can just have them come and tell us why it's so much money if they could. And then I'm willing to take the money out, but is there someone from the department that could, if you would mind, if I had them come up to talk about those extending of mental health homes to the community mental health centers?
Representative, just make sure I understand. You are deleting sections that we have previously adopted?
That's correct, Mr. Chair. We thought they were without cost.
And so these are articles or in Article 5, Section 45 through 46 and 47 and 51 in the House language that we had adopted previously, and now we're going to delete those.
And it's a Department of Health fiscal note, I believe. And I'll accept their word at it. I just would like to have a word about it. So.
And if there's anyone from the Department of Health that can comment on Representative Abler's.
So my motion would be to delete those. Just wanted to get Ms. Julie to the table, so I'm happy. It's been a good day.
Ms. Julie, please identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Barb Julie from the Department of Health. I don't have the fiscal note in front of me, but in the original fiscal note provided for these provisions, it did have a cost. These provisions were amended at some point, I believe, with the A-59 amendment that reduced the cost, but there is still a cost to these sections. And again, I don't have the detailed fiscal note in front of me.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
And I didn't have you come to grill you. I just was curious. And so we thought it would be productive to actually allow these community mental health places to be used as that. Is the additional cost because of the work to credential them or because they'll be getting more clients and there's more coordinating fees? Oh, we have she called a friend, Mr. Chair.
Lifeline.
Please identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chair, My name is Maggie Diebel. I'm the director of the Community and Family Health Division at the Minnesota Department of Health. The additional cost was related to convening groups of providers, stakeholders, to establish standards around which certification would be made.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
I didn't get your last. Is it Diebel? Is that?
Diebel.
Oh, Diebel.
D-I-E-B-E-L.
Thanks. Well, Ms. Diebel, aren't there already standards, and why would you need new ones for this group?
Ms. Diebel.
There are standards that would benefit the certification to ensure that those who have a stake with these additional organizations, entities coming on board to contribute to the process.
So do you remember, Mr. Chair, Ms. Diebel, do you remember roughly how much money that would cost to do our amended version?
Ms. Diebel.
I realize you're not prepared for this, but I didn't tell you we were going to talk about this. But just, is it $100,000 or a million or $10 or what?
Ms. Julep.
Mr. Chair, Representative Abler and members of committee, and the first year it was around $400,000 per year, and then it was reduced over time. It got reduced to $288,000, then $200,000 ongoing.
So,
Mr. Representative Abler.
I'm a little frustrated, and I didn't have you come to yell at you, but some of these groups are like, if we could find better ways to coordinate care for people with mental health conditions with people who are actually good at it, we think we're going to save some money. And, you know, we're trying to find ways to do better work for people who have really bad problems. And the certification and credentialing snag is aggravating to me. And so do you have some idea what will happen to the people, what we'll be spending on people who don't get to go to one of these places because they won't be treated well enough in the place they're treated at now, the increased cost? That's probably, I'll just withdraw the question. I'm very frustrated. Mr. Chair,
Representative,
would you mind just going home and working on this and finding, without language in the bill, which I would like to put in here instead of this section, which I will not do, would you please go back to your department and talk to some of these community mental health clinics and see how indeed you can get them to be part of this system? There's a small company in town called North Memorial Hospital, and they're kind of new and no one's heard of them much. They have 12 sites. Only one of them was good enough to be one of your certified sites, and I'm frustrated by that. Actually, they're a pretty reputable group, and they actually have 24/7 service, and everybody knows who they are. And so in the name of certification, we're losing some really good work that could be done. And so could you, and we have a little tiny bit of language there saying that you can give variances if it's they can't find it some other way. So could, for heaven's sakes, we look at how valuable certification is, but look at function. And would you please? And so if you could go take that task and talk to North Memorial and see if you could deem the whole, allow the whole, like the host to be the, that we would trust them to look after their clinics because they're really reliable and they actually care about 24/7 at their sites. And some of these community mental health clinics, which have been around for a long time and do the very thing that we hope they do without convening a work group. I'll stop now, but we're in the middle of a crisis like we've never seen before. And we got a bill that reduces services by $1.6 billion. And at the end of the day, you're going to have to find that kind of money too, I predict. And so if we can find some ways to cut off a couple hundred million by serving people better and they're actually healthier by finding ways to incorporate these great people, we're all going to win. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you for the testimony. And Representative Abler, your aggravation is noted by the chair.
And the department is a very good department, Mr. Chair. I hope I wasn't untoward to our good staff.
We acknowledge the good work the department has done and will continue to do. And thank you for your comments. So, members, Representative Abler is moving to delete some sections that we previously adopted. It's Article 5, Sections 45, 46, 47, and 51. I believe we adopted these last night. And are there any questions from members of the committee? All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Thank
those
you,
articles
Chair.
Are deleted. Thank you. And, Mr. Chairman, are there other amendments? I thought there was, did Representative Gottwald have a?
No.
No.
I guess we'll hold off on that one for the time being continue with doing some. Representative Huntley.
I had an A81 amendment.
Okay. Representative Huntley has A81 amendment.
And This relates to...
Mr. Representative Huntley, I don't want to stop you, but I don't have the amendment, and I'm not sure if staff, can you... Does anybody know where the A81 amendment is? We are searching for the A81 amendment. Representative Huntley.
We've deleted the section this was going to amend, so don't need my amendment.
We're one step ahead of you, Representative.
All right. Representative Huntley decides not to offer the A81 amendment.
What would it have been? Darn.
There's a testifier.
Yeah. Members, we're going to return to the amendment that we set aside a few minutes ago, the A107 amendment. There were some questions about this, and waiting for some comments from someone who could help the committee understand what the amendment does. And welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself.
Hi, Mr. Chairman and members. I'm Karen Mickelson, and I'm with DHS. I'm speaking on behalf of Jerry Kerber, who's our licensing director. I did just talk to him on the phone, and he is okay with this amendment. He's familiar with it, and I believe he provided technical support to draft it.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Aver.
Can you comment, Ms. Hey, welcome back. Nice to drag you over here.
Yeah.
Do you have a ticket, or did you have to come from the
I have a ticket. We're playing. Okay. DHS is playing musical tickets.
Oh, that's fine. Anyway, we're glad to have you. But is this $20 fee the same as was charged before to the other place?
Ms. Mickelson.
Mr. Chair, members, yes. It is the same as we do for all other background study fees. It comes in, we use it, it goes out. So it's budget neutral.
Thank you, Ms. Mickelson. And I think, Representative Gottwald, you'd raised a question about the fee and whether this was an additional or a new fee. And the understanding is that this is something that's currently being assessed but paid to a different entity and would now be transferred to yours. Is that correct?
I didn't, excuse me,
is the
Chair.
Fee, what our understanding is this fee is currently being collected and it's just being collected by someone else and is now going to be collected through your department. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Galt, or Representative Gottwald, I'm not sure about that. I can make a phone call and get back to you. Otherwise.
We'll hold it again.
Someone else is signaling they would like to add a comment here, so we'll take some testimony. Please identify yourself.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Goodnow. I represent the Minnesota Autism Center, which is a CTSS provider. My understanding is that they pay less for the current background checks they receive through the other source, but this is the Children's Therapeutic Service Support Services, which is part of this amendment. But this amendment is optional. So it gives them the option to either go through the DHS to get the background studies done or through their existing source for background studies. So we have no problems with it. We think it's a good idea.
All right. Thank you. And any other questions from the committee or Representative Kiffmeyer?
I think the other question is the fee the same irrespective? The $20 was a question.
And Ms. Mickelson,
Mr.
Can you
Chair,
clarify that?
Representative Kiffmeyer, it is the same.
All right. Thank you.
Are we clear on that? Members? Any other questions from members of the committee? And again, this is going back in Article, was it Article 3 that this was an amendment we looked at in Article 3, so we're just revisiting that. Any other questions? All right. I think Representative Abler moved the A107 amendment. He renews that motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The A107 amendment is adopted. And my understanding is we do not have additional amendments for Article 5.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Abler.
Just to go back to that amendment we just did, I just read it. So there's a fee of no more than 20. So it's charged to, based on cost. So.
Thank you, Representative Abler. We're going to take language changes, amendments to Article 6. Are there any that we need to?
Mr. Chair, members, I think there are three amendments that are policy related that we could take up.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, members, the first one is Amendment A-112.
This is those two people. This is task. Mr. Chair, I'll move the A-112.
Representative Abler moves the A-112 amendment, and
I can describe it if you like.
Representative Abler believes he can help the committee understand what we're doing. Please, Representative Abler.
It's most of the language just moves numbers around, but it adds two people to the My Life, My Choices task force, and one from the counties and one from a small provider. It was thought it would give this some additional breadth. Representative Loeffler had the suggestion, and I thought I would accept her suggestion.
All right. And members, again, this was Lutheran Social Service has a number of provisions that we've adopted in the bill, one of which creates a task force, and this is amending the membership of the task force. Are there any questions from members on the A-112? Seeing none, Representative Abler renews his motion to adopt the A-112 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? A-112 is adopted.
Okay. This is my improv. This is a technical one of my work. Mr. Chair, I'll move the A-109.
Representative Abler moves the A-109 amendment.
It's
and,
like a technical improvement from the department to me. Ms. Pinelli could probably describe it.
Members have copies of the A-109. Representative Abler indicates that Ms. Pinelli can explain this. So,
Mr. Chair, members, this is deleting a section of House language in Article 6 that was previously adopted and replacing it with the language in the amendment. It has to do with the processing of medical assistance applications within established timelines, and it's basically saying that the applications need to be processed by the local agency within 10 days of receipt of all information needed to act on the application, but no later than what's required under Minnesota rules, which is 45 days.
And thank you. And the part that we delete in this amendment, what is the difference?
Oh, right here, we adopt. It's the whole long version of that.
So we're just replacing.
So we're just essentially replacing.
256.5 and 256.9.
Yes, we're taking all those timings.
Mr. Chair, we're just replacing that entire section with this much shorter language.
All right. So we're saving some space in the bill then.
So, yeah, we're. There could be a fiscal note for less pages. Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
Ms. Pinelli, I remember talking to my county, and they talked about 10 working days. Is that implied, or is that any reason we didn't say that? Or do you have advice?
Ms. Pinelli.
Mr. Chair, members, I think if you wanted to make it clear that it was working days on page 1, line 8, after 10, you could add the word working.
Mr. Chair, I'll move to insert line 1 after 10 on line 1.8, the word working, and I'll incorporate that into my amendment. And, Mr. Chair, this is meant to expedite, I think this is a nursing home issue and other issues. The counties, I think, have 45 days or some other time frames, but the information doesn't always come in, and so they have to make a decision. This is if it's there, they have to decide and move along, and from my understanding, the counties like this, or at least it was a good way to do it. So,
right.
That's all I have to say.
All right. Representative Abler removes the A-109 amendment. Any questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? A-109 is adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move the A-118 amendment.
Representative Abler moves the A-118 amendment.
And I don't know if we adopted Section 5. It had.
Mr. Chair, members, we did not adopt Section 5.
So we are in.
So do I need to delete that, or does that matter to you guys?
Mr. Chair, I don't think it really matters that
okay.
much.
So, Mr. Chair, moving the this is a, I've been working pretty much all session on this this informal administrative conference. That if a person has a loss of services due to some action by the county or whatever, they can right now they can appeal it to to a court, which is intimidating. Some people don't know they have the right to actually call them up and have a conversation. This is my really short version of having the counties just let them know that they can call up and talk about it without having to take the county to an adversarial court experience. So I think that I've hopefully found the level of comfort that'll make the county is not unhappy with this. It doesn't cost anybody any money. They would just on the notice of denial of reduction, they could put on there, you could call us and talk about this. Or it's meant to be very administratively easy, and I'm not sure if it's peace in the valley, but it's pretty close, Mr. Chair. So. And some of the people in the audience are nodding, Mr. Chair. I want to point that out. So. And that's all I have.
And so just to be clear, we are deleting something we haven't adopted, and that doesn't make any difference, and we're adding this new section at the end of the article. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
All right. Any questions from members of the committee? Representative Abel renews his motion to adopt the A-118 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank A-118 you. Is adopted.
The better case.
Are there other amendments in the A-6 article? I mean, the Article 6?
No, Mr. Chair. I believe everything else we have for Article 6 is related to money.
All right. Article 7.
I think that was the Bob Seeger amendment, Mr. Chair.
We did, we did do a First Amendment. Was an Article 7 amendment. I am not aware of other amendments in Article 7.
I have an amendment to Article 7.
Oh.
I apologize, Mr. Chair. I have the A-116 amendment.
Do we have copies of that amendment?
Here it comes.
It is language that merges the intent of Sections 36 and Section 19. It's been worked out with the House representative as well as the counties, the vendors, and the department, and so we'll take a little bit bigger than the Senate language, a little smaller than the current House language. And so I move that amendment, Mr. Chair.
R19.
So, Representative Benson, this is a replacement of Section 36.
Senate language, yes.
Is this the thing? And have we adopted Section 36 already?
I don't see it show it as adopted. So you don't have to be, Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
Senator Benson, was there a House member you worked on with this?
It's Representative Tara Mackworth.
Okay, yeah, I thought so. Okay. And so you, this is all, you did talk to her too? And
yep.
Okay,
yes.
Great. No, I appreciate it. This is a really good thing, and this is really some good work that we should all get behind.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any questions from members of the committee? Senator Benson moves the renews her motion to adopt the A-116 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? The A-116 amendment is adopted. And I'm not aware of other language amendments to the Article 7. Are there any amendments to Article 8? Seeing none. Not seeing any, no one has amendments for language. I think what we want to do then is to walk through these.
Spreadsheet first? Or?
Let me, I want to be clear on what we're covering in the articles that we still need to adopt. So I want to take a brief recess and ask counsel to direct us on what we're order we're taking these in. So we stand recess for 5 minutes.
To spend some pleasure time there?
Not really. We spent one, well, we got there like a day before it started.
Death by fiscal note.
Well, I was.
I really wanted to.